Recalibration Matrix is sponsored by Discount Games, Inc. and Muzon Minis. Discount Games, Inc. offers the maximum allowed discount on Marvel Crisis Protocol. When you order $30 or more, you will receive free domestic shipping. Visit us at www.discountgamesinc.com. Muzon Minis creates the highest quality gaming accessories. You can buy our product at www.museonstore.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Recalibration Matrix. I am your host, Jay Larson, and joining me, as always, is your friendly neighborhood,
Greg Webster.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, Jay.
How are you today?
I'm good. I just received the new releases from Discount Games, Inc.
What?
And I assembled and primed Miles, Ghost, and Green Goblin. And I am really excited to paint them because they look like they're all three of them are pretty simple to paint, but I think there's a lot of cool shit you can do. So I'm really excited for them.
Nice.
Yeah. Plus, they are probably my three favorite releases so far, like together. I think they're going to change the game a lot together. So I'm very excited.
Miles and Gwen, I think that's a pretty argument to make. Why do you feel that way about Green Goblin?
Well, so I am firmly in for the Spider-Foes team. I'm firmly in the wait and see camp.
Sure, yeah.
But
yeah.
Green Goblin comes with Blind Obsession, and I think that card is pretty cool, and I think you can actually build a lot around Blind Obsession.
What are some of the things that you're liking about that card?
Or well, it's, how it's, you would build around it? At the start of the activation phase, any character can pay 3, and you choose, basically you choose someone to become obsessed with, an enemy character, and you basically like give them a token, and then you get 2 dice added when you're attacking them, and then when that character rolls defense dice, they add 2 dice to the defense roll, and if it's not the chosen character attacking, you remove 2 dice from the defense roll. So it's kind of this... It's kind of this really interesting, like, you're adding dice and you're taking them away. Yeah, so you get 2 dice when you attack them.
And then 2 dice to its attack roll from targeting the chosen character.
And then you lose 2 defense dice if anybody else attacks. I'm just imagining it, like, as a nice way to finish somebody off if you really need to. Or if you... You have a Captain America. It's a cool card because I think it's a mid to late game. Like, I really need to daze this person. Downside, of course, is that it's at the start of the activation phase, just like Doomed Prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
So Doomed Prophecy kind of has this negative where I think when you play Doomed Prophecy, if you don't have priority, I think you can get knocked out like right away. So you have to be pretty careful about that. This one I think is a little bit more forgiving. And I like that it's... I feel like a lot of times you'll be able to predict who's going to attack you. So being able to say, I'm going to get 2 defense dice against them, and I'm going to be better at attacking them at the cost of I'm going to be weaker against other people. Like, I don't know. So when I'm playing, I had a game where I played... It was basically Groot versus Ebony Maw on one side of the board for a lot of the game. And, like, if I knew that I could be like, okay, I get +2 defense against Ebony Maw, and then I get +2 attack dice, I feel like that would 100% be worth it and would help me daze Ebony Maw or knock him out quickly and also prevent him from knocking me out in return because the defense dice. Like, it's a really interesting card. I like it. I like how I think it's really, really good. And I think it's going to become...
I think it is going to be a really popular one. I feel like I've had to read that card about 5 or 6 times to make sure that I understand it. And I'm still not 100% sure that I do. But my understanding is, you know, let's say that I have Black Panther, and he puts an obsession token on himself, and then...
You pick who you're obsessed with.
You pick who you are obsessed with. So let's say that I pick... Corvus Glaive. So if Black Panther is attacking Corvus Glaive, I get two extra dice. If Corvus Glaive is attacking Black Panther, then I get to roll two extra defense dice. But if anyone else on the team is attacking Black Panther, I roll two fewer defense dice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's...
And you keep it until they're KO'd. So you right. You could even play it turn one if you could, like round one if you could.
Right.
And kind of call a shot. So like Hawkeye can pick somebody and then be making, what is it, seven dice shots on him?
I thought his base shot was four.
Is it four?
I'm not sure. It's disappointing.
It's five. It is five. I just checked.
Oh, okay.
So well. You make seven dice. You make seven shots on him, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to hide behind this building or, you know, hook shot away to be out of line of sight. I think it's really cool.
Okay.
Also, Hawkeye doesn't really need his power, so he'd be a good target for it.
That's true. He doesn't really need his power. So I do think that's cool. And I just got my sets of cards from that as well. That they shipped to my painter last week, but I got in a game this morning and got to look at my cards, etc. And there's a Black Order combo that I'm excited for us to talk about today. And so it's gonna be fun.
Nice.
Okay, well, do you want to, I guess before we dive in, is there anything else you wanted to talk about or anything, I guess?
There have been a lot of questions about releases in October, yeah. I noticed on the internet, so you're probably better. You probably know more than I do. What's coming out in October, Jay?
Give me one second. So...
Like the New York City people, right?
Yeah, yeah. So like Bullseye and Daredevil, Taskmaster and
Punisher,
Kingpin, and the New York City terrain construction terrain set,
which is basically a Kingpin terrain set, which is cool.
Yeah, it basically is. It is
very
cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then we have the X-Men. Pre-sales up as well. We just have them listed as November. It's possible that only some of them will release in November and some will be December. We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we don't know. Like my distributor said that they expected, the stuff I mentioned to be in October, but like Asmodee, it's not like Asmodee has confirmed that. So
yeah.
This is educated guesses in a lot of way.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's fair. I'm really excited. I feel like it's really exciting. All these new affiliations coming out are very cool because we know Kingpin has one, then we got Defenders. It's almost like every month we're getting a brand new affiliation. It's
yeah, really cool. Then there's going to be I guess more than that, four new ones in November?
I think it's two.
Affiliation, different leaderships?
I think so. So there was one sentence that Schick said that I think misled me, but I think it is X-Men with two different leaders and then Brotherhood with two different leaders.
Okay.
I think.
Well, either way, it'll be awesome.
Everything will be awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Was that not the reference you were making?
No, that is.
Okay, good.
Good job.
So let's talk about Black Dwarf.
Let's.
So Black Dwarf is not actually a dwarf. He's apparently quite large. He
as
is
near
large...
as I can tell, he's also not black.
Hmm.
I guess I need to go to the... Yeah, I mean, he's definitely like...
He's like ogre.
Yellow.
Oh, okay, yellow, fine. So he's a threat four.
Ogre dwarf.
He's a threat four. He's size four. He is speed short. He's a short mover. He's got 6 stamina on his healthy side, and then he's got 8 on his injured side. So that's a total of 14. He's got 4 physical defense, 3 energy defense, and then 3 mystical defense. He's got 2 physical attacks. The first one is Axe Strike, which is range 2, power 6, 0 cost, and then it says after the attacker is resolved, he gains power equal to the damage dealt. So It's called Axe Strike, but it's just the strike that everybody else has. His second attack is called Brutal End. It's range 3, strength 8, and then it costs 4, and it has a wild stagger effect. So it's just a big old bash attack. He's got multiple superpowers. So his first one is Black Fury, and it's basically a throw. You can throw a size 4 terrain or enemy medium. So really good throw because he can throw size 4 or higher. And throw medium is really good. It costs 3, so we've talked before about how like some of the best throws for some reason cost 2. His is 3. His next one is Enforced Oblivion, and it's an interesting one because I think some players kind of think it's a charge at first, but it's an action, and he makes a move action. The next attack it makes this activation adds 2 dice to its attack roll. So it basically is a move action that you pay for, and then you still have to use your second action to make the attack. But when it does, you get to add 2 dice. So if you really need to dice someone to death, this is one way to do it. Or if you like, you really need to do, you know, Axe Strike with 8 dice, you really want to generate power on him, like I would definitely do it just for the 2 dice. But it doesn't generate any extra move like a charge. His next one is probably his most unique power, called Intimidating Presence. When an enemy character within 2 of him targets another allied character, you can use this superpower, and then he becomes the target regardless of range or line of sight. So if he comes up and he's in Hawkeye's face, basically Hawkeye is not going to want to target someone else because you can just shift it to Black Dwarf to take the hit. It does cost 2, and it's a reactive superpower. His next one is Invulnerable Skin. It says when this character would suffer damage, reduce the amount suffered by 1 to a minimum of 1 from an enemy effect. So he has invulnerability. So overall, he's a tanky 4. He's maybe one of the hardest to kill 4 cost characters that's not Captain America or Black Widow. He's got a lot of stamina. He's got Invulnerable Skin, and then he's kind of got this kind of reverse bodyguard ability where he needs to be up in the enemy's face to take the hits, but it's a style of bodyguard, right?
And you may have already said this, but he's 6 health on his healthy and 8 on his injured.
Mm-hmm.
So the 8 on his injured is quite lovely. It is interesting. So you get used to thinking about characters or thinking about the game a certain way. And so in a lot of characters have a better healthy side than injured side. And Black Dwarf is a little bit better on the injured side, has more hit points. And it's actually something that, you know, initially I was like, oh, that's unfortunate. But actually with the Black Order, it's something that is a positive because Thanos' ability where he can buff up his allies, it adds 2 dice on the healthy side and 4 dice on the injured side. So if you're able to get to your injured side quicker, or if you're able to stay alive on your injured side longer, it is that much better.
Yeah, it's an interesting one too, because and generally you don't want to be on your injured side because then oftentimes you can't score against your opponent if you're on the injured side. So it's a cool one. So Black Dwarf synergizes well with Thanos in that regard. I had some thoughts when I first saw him, which were that he kind of wants to be up in your opponent's side of the board. He wants to be engaging with them because of that intimidating presence. Mm-hmm. And so I was wondering if he'd end up like the Hulk, where maybe the best way to deal with him is to avoid engaging with him.
Mm-hmm.
And try to play around him. He's a little bit, you know, he's a little bit better about doing that than Hulk. He's harder to avoid. The Hulk is, because of the place effect. So, sorry. I do think that his biggest problem is that he's competing with all the other cost fours in the game.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that before, that, like...
There's some really good cost fours.
There's so many good cost fours, and, like...
And it also, we talked a little bit about this in the Ebony Maw episode, and I think that he's a better 4-cost character than Ebony Maw is at a 5-cost character. But it also, like, it just gets really difficult if you, like, Thanos and Corvus Glaive, let's say you have Reality Gem on Corvus and Power on Thanos, that's 15 points. Like, there's only a couple of scenarios where you can fit in Black Dwarf at that point. And granted, you can drop a gem or two as well if you want to. But it's just one of the list-building challenges with the Black Order that it feels like Corvus Glaive and Proxima Midnight are kind of the auto-includes, and then you figure out the rest of your list-building from there.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that Black Dwarf kind of feels like a defensive tank when we are not really certain that that's something that Black Order needs.
Mm.
It
does make me sad. Like, I don't understand why his bodyguard isn't a bodyguard.
It's more of a, you have to be two away from the enemy instead of two away from the friendly.
I mean, I guess, my feeling is that there's obviously going to be different situations where each one's better, but it feels like in general, the normal bodyguard is a more useful ability. Would you agree with that, or am I just conceptualizing this wrong?
I think bodyguard is generally more useful, but at the same time, right, I think this has a lot of use. I don't think this is at all... I don't think it's a bad ability. Like, it costs... I feel like the cost is the same as bodyguard. It's 2. And I feel like it works differently because I think the main difference here might be, like, what scenarios is Black Dwarf better than, like, Captain America in? And so, like, I think in something like Gamma Wave, Black Dwarf might be this incredible choice. Where if Black Dwarf is in the middle, he can maybe just double move in order to take an attack from a friendly character and also contest or score a point. And because he's so big, he's on the largest base size, it'll be even easier for him to get within that 2.
Mm-hmm. And I have played him in Gamma Wave, and he is pretty good in that scenario. So I want to throw something at you, Greg. So this is going to be our last Black Order episode, our last Black Order character.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that this combo is, it's not really a Black Dwarf combo per se. But this is our last chance to talk about Black Order. And so I wanted to bring this up. It's a combo with a new card that was just released in either green. Well, maybe, actually, I'm not sure where or when this was released. I think it's from Green Goblin or Miles and Gwen, but I could be wrong.
What's the card?
The card is All You've Got.
That comes with the Miles and Gwen.
Okay, so All You Got says it's unaffiliated, reactive. When a character with a threat level of 6 or less would gain an activated token at the end of its activation, they may spend 4 to play this card. They do not gain an activated token. Your turn does not end, and you must activate that character again. At the end of this character's second activation, if they are healthy, they gain a dazed token. If they are injured, they are knocked out. And then the combo card that I was thinking with it is the Black Order card, Price of Failure. Mm. Choose an injured allied character to play this card. Other allied characters gain 3 power. The chosen character is knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
So you would, ideally, it wouldn't be someone as expensive, I think, as a Black Order character. Probably more something like Nebula or maybe Valkyrie. Like, there's some times where, like, if Valkyrie got a back-to-back activation, she could just, like, terrorize the world. Mm-hmm. But she activates once, attacks, you play all you've got when she's on her injured side already and is likely close to dead already. Mm-hmm. Get another activation from her, and then sacrifice her with Price to Failure and give all your other characters 3 power.
I like that, actually. I think that's a really fun combo.
Yeah, I don't know. It's potentially more cute than good, but, like, whatever.
I'm kind of okay with cute over good right now. Like, I think there's definitely that debate to be had. Like, what is the place for it?
Right. I did think it was interesting, and it did, like, I've not been sure what I thought of taking Price of Failure or using that, but I could see it being kind of a fun combo.
No, I like it a lot.
All you've got. So, I guess can you see yourself playing Black Dwarf in any other affiliations besides Black Hawker?
Yes, I can, Jay. In fact, I think he might be best in Avengers. He kind of synergizes really well with them. They kind of love his power set. Intimidating Presence is another defensive tech, yes, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it's also one that, like, Captain America doesn't need to be near someone to defend them. So you can more, and I think it also, like, if you're basically shunting a lot of damage onto Black Dwarf and Captain America, you can use those two to pay for some cool tactics cards, like Follow Me or, I mean, shit, All You've Got or something else. I think, so like I said, Intimidating Presence becomes a cost 1, and then Enforced Oblivion and Black Fury become 2 and 1, which are I think you're going to use one or the other every time you activate him, so he's an ideal Avengers target. I think some people have been talking about cards that kind of threaten like just big offensive blasts with something like Doomed Prophecy, or like I think he's a really good Blind Obsession target as well. Well, maybe not him, because then everybody's going to be attacking him. And I mean, hell, maybe he would be, though. Like, he would be a very good, like, Blind Obsession on Black Dwarf, and then going in for an attack against Captain America, or, I mean, he's, like, throwing down 10 dice with Stagger seems okay. Like, seems like it'd be worth it. I really like him in Avenger. And I had a local who kept playing it, and then I tried it out, and I agree. I think it's really good. I think it's got
a
lot.
I think that, like, there's tons of characters that want to be Avengers. It's obviously a very different question on if the Avengers want that character. And so, what do you think of that? Do you think that, like, the Avengers are going to find space for him in their roster very often?
I think it depends. I think if we're talking about the situation I was really enjoying him on is more spread out scenarios where he can basically go and be on an objective with an enemy model, and the enemy model cannot attack, like, Hawkeye or Black Widow off the objective because he'll just take the attack. And that felt really good. The games I've played where he goes like that, I think they're really good. I feel like you kind of have to build for him, but I do think, with that in mind, if you're playing at, like, a 20, 19, or 18 list, you might end up switching him for Thor or Hulk or another, you know, more offensive Avenger. And I do think he's got that, like, situation where is Black Dwarf a better choice than, like, Vision or Black Panther? And I think he's only a better choice if you're bringing a lot of threes, and you need to defend them.
Yeah.
But I think he's a good choice if you're going to do that.
Well, why don't we go ahead and pause there on our discussion of him in-game, and we can start our comic book club. So, what did we read this time, Greg?
So, we read the beginning of the Avengers No Surrender arc. So, this is Avengers from that started in 2016, and we read issues 675 to 680. This is a... It's actually the prequel story to what we read last week, where we have two Celestials, two Ancients of the Universe, are basically playing a game, and they're throwing their champions at each other, and they've decided that the battleground will be Earth. So they teleport Earth away, and then they put in their two champion. They each have like a chosen team of warriors. And the Avengers are kind of caught in the middle, where they're desperately trying to save as many lives as they can, and then when there are these two teams of aliens fighting, they try to break it up. And one of the teams is the Black Order, and they're fighting a team that is new called the Lethal Legion. And the whole thing is this, you know, cosmic game being played by exceedingly powerful individuals. We see... the Grand Master is in the Black Order comic that we read last week, and he is, you know, he's so powerful that he can bend the Black Order to his will. They're essentially gods. Whenever they talk about these characters, it's very silly.
I thought it was actually pretty cool when it gave kind of the backstory with him and his, I think they were brothers.
Sort of, yeah.
But they were, like, basically the oldest existing sentient beings in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
This small handful of people. One of them is the Collector. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how, you know, whatever they're doing is, that's what their name is. And so the Collector's collecting things. He's the Collector. And one of them got the other brother got the title of Grandmaster. And they were playing games with each other, and the other brother was like kind of jealous of that title, and so they like played off for it, and whoever was going to be the loser was going to get exiled, and the brother that initially had the title lost, and so the other one became the new Grandmaster.
Mm-hmm.
And this was all basically like them resettling that wager again.
Yeah, so like the two cosmic beings are the Grandmaster, who we've seen in a lot of Marvel comics, and then this new guy who, it turns out, he's the original Grandmaster. It's very cool. And I like how... I like how it's something you can kind of only do in comic books, where you just have these, like, whatever, this is why they're doing it. And did you read the little bits at the end?
No.
It's kind of funny, like, talking about, they kind of answer weird questions, and I actually really like it. They have some concept art sometimes, but I was so engaged by this, I kept going, and they talk about how they accidentally named the pyramids, like, the Pyramidons, the Pyramoids, or something, and they're just like, yeah, whatever, we'll come up with a better name later. So this whole thing is basically, like, a big, you know, champions fighting it out. The whole thing has a very like Saturday morning cartoon feel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Avengers at this point are very different. Like, you don't see, you know, Thor or Iron Man, cause they're not around. Because like we have the female Thor, that's Jane Foster. Iron Man is dead at this point. We have, like, a lot of new.
There's also just a lot of the characters as part of the setup for the game. They have been frozen by the game master, and they don't know what's going on. They eventually figure out that if one of their team gets taken out of commission, then another one gets unfrozen.
Yeah.
So that basically they have the same. Their force is the same size through this game. So.
Yes, exactly. And the game basically is they fight over these pyramidoids, and when they get them, that person is supposedly killed, and then that team gets the point, and they're playing for points. And so Black Order gets one when we see Black Dwarf grabs it, like, knowing he'll die. He's pretty brave. But there's a lot of, like, other drama going on here. Like, Jarvis gets seriously injured in when Earth gets displaced, and the new Wasp is really upset that the other Avengers don't seem to care as much as her. And then we have, like, the team splitting up, and Quicksilver is upset because Rogue doesn't trust him enough to, like, bring him on a mission. I think one of the cooler things that's happening in this comic, and I don't even know if you know this. So, Jay, does Voyager, what do you think of Voyager?
So, they do kind of like the cool flashbacks or whatever with her to try to establish who she is and what she is and why she's cool. And, I mean, that's cool enough. Without that, I really don't have any reason to care about her at all.
Yeah, so I was wondering about this. So, Jay, all the flashbacks for Voyager are bullshit. Voyager was not in any of these old Avengers comics.
Okay.
So they do this thing where they're like, yeah, Voyager was one of the original Avengers, and she, like, helped found the team, and she was here at all these, like, amazing events from Avengers history, like when they refounded themselves with Hawkeye and the Scarlet Witch, and when Vision was crying, Voyager was there, and, like, Voyager was here at this big... Voyager was never there. She has not existed before this comic book. But she appears, this new character appears, and the Avengers are like, oh yeah, that's Voyager. She's one of the original Avengers, and we thought she was dead. But, like, she's never existed. So there's something, like, really weird about her, where she's a brand new character that everybody's acting. Everybody, like, remembers her.
Everyone's like brand in awe. New. Like, oh my god, yes. We owe so much to your legacy.
Yeah, and they're even like, oh, Voyager's so humble. Instead of taking over, she's letting the others lead. It's really cool. And I was just like, I bet Jay thinks this is all, like, takes it at face value.
Yeah.
But she's a completely brand new character, and it's very creepy. I thought I really like how they introduce this character who everybody remembers except the readers. I thought that was so cool.
I don't want to wait for this. I'm just going to give one thing I thought was awful.
Okay.
And one thing that I thought was kind of cool. So which one do you want to hear first?
Oh, let's go with the awful.
Okay. So I remember, so I like Rogue in, like, the X-Men movies, and it seems like I liked her okay in the cartoons. Mm-hmm. But today I learned, this was, I think, the first comic we've read with her in it, and I can't stand reading her accent.
Oh, no.
In the comics. It's so bad. I hate it. I hate it. Oh,
no, I love it.
Well.
She never says and. It's always an.
She never says I either.
Oh, yeah, she doesn't.
No.
And. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you hate Rogue's accent so much.
Oh, well.
I really love the part where she absorbs Corvus Glaive and kills him. And then she, like, looks, her skin looks like Corvus Glaive, and she's all pissed off. That's really cool.
The other thing I liked was that, like, at the very start of the arc, so one of the things they do is basically, like, the narration of each episode is told by a different hero.
Mm-hmm.
Which is especially annoying, obviously, when that person is Rogue, but, you know, what are you going to do? But the very first one is a character that I have never seen before, Living Lightning. And then he says that, I just go by Lightning now because I'm getting confused. People confuse me with Living Laser. And, but he has, they, there's like a short intro scene where he, like, busts up some low level criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's him and another male FBI agent like start hitting on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then like all hell breaks loose. But I did like the scene with him and the FBI agent. So.
Yeah, that was really cool. It was also a like bringing that character in was a good way to be like, we even have to call in Living Lightning. That's how bad things are.
That's how bad things have gotten.
And I had to Google this character. He is a very 90s like type of of character that they created. Like I don't think I've ever seen him in a comic before. So he's just one of those weird Marvels. I thought they did a really good job with all the like we have to make sub teams and we have to go like right. split up.
They basically have like three teams.
Yeah, if that, right? Because there's also the team that stays behind, and then, like, Wasp and Beast are trying to save Jarvis and doing all this, like, research and stuff on him. Yeah, and so So you might not know this, or you might know it, Jay, but most comic books are monthly, so yeah. There's a new issue every month.
Right.
This was a
Yeah, at the
experiment.
Very end, it was like check out next week.
Yeah. So this was Marvel trying to do a big epic event that was every week, and I like how it feels like you know the other big comics we've read that were like the crossovers. This feels like that. This feels like the you know the big events that have you know like we're missing like when we read Infinity and there was like stuff that I felt like was missing that I wish mm-hmm. was in the main comic. And it feels like that by doing this weekly comic, they did a really good job of doing like a big earth-shattering event without needing all those crossovers.
Mm.
I will say it's apparently it's very long, right? It's a 15 issue story, I think. Yeah, I think it's 15 issues, and like that, you know, that makes it a little bit harder to keep up with. Oh, it's 16 issues. Goodness. What did you think about that? Like, this is the fourth or fifth, like, big Marvel crossover-style comic we've done.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think this compares favorably to those, or...?
I mean, it's kind of tough to say, because, you know, I haven't read through to the end of it. I will say that it, I felt like it, it started out well. And had was going solid.
Yeah.
So,
can you guess who they're teasing is going to show up?
I think they kind of spoil it at the very end that it's Wolverine. Is that correct?
Oh, okay. No, that's a completely separate thing.
Okay.
So Wolverine died in 2013 or 14, maybe 15. But so there was a point where Wolverine died, like he died, and it was a really big deal. But then he like came back to life, but nobody could find him. So there were all these comics where the X-Men were looking for Wolverine, and then they were just like, well, he doesn't want to be found, so I guess he'll come back when he comes back. And so at the very end, they show that like Wolverine is frozen somewhere, and that's just... that's like a teaser to the Where is Wolverine thing they were doing.
Okay.
I'm talking about the scary thing in the dark that sure. is the what is it, the sixth champion of the Challenger?
Yeah, it's like the reserve mm-hmm. that's on the Black Order's team. Yeah. So no, I don't have any idea.
Okay. It's the Hulk. He's got the Hulk in reserve because the Hulk died as well and he's immortal and he can't die. And so the help me, I'm still down here in the darkness, in the shadows with him. He won't stop. He won't die. Oh God, what if he can't? Because the new Hulk comic is Immortal Hulk because he just keeps coming back to life.
Okay.
I felt like they did a really good job of, yeah, it's very epic and over the top. And like the stakes are of course ridiculously high, but
so one quick diversion, and I've made this recommend in chain attack before, but you're someone who enjoys reading, Greg.
Oh, I love reading, yes.
So, have you ever read any of the Culture series by Ian Banks?
No, I don't think I have.
So, it is a super highly well-regarded sci-fi series, and Ian Banks has passed away at this point, within like probably the last 3 or 4 years. And the Culture is this setting that he created that is basically a post-scarcity world. And like AIs kind of like, there's like these big, habitat ships that humanity lives on, and they do terraforming, and AIs kind of, run things. And humans are just like, has a lot of questions about, like, you know, what do you do in a world where you don't have any scarcity, or where what's the purpose of things, etc. Mm-hmm. So, one of the novels in this setting is called The Player of Games, and it is about a guy who he's basically a grandmaster of gaming, and for him, playing games is how he's finding meaning in life, and he goes and plays a really consequential game with another civilization. But it's it reminded me some of this comic series. It's a novel that I like quite a bit. I would recommend if you're interested in reading the Culture series, I would like the author doesn't necessarily do a ton of explanation of the setting, and so it's probably worth reading a little bit of like a short summary about the Culture universe or a wiki or something like that. Just to recommend, if people like this series, you can check out that book. So,
no, that's perfect.
I guess anything you want to say about this arc before we pause and go into the next episode?
It is way more consistent than some of the other event series we've read. And I think that's because they kept the same artist and colorists for every issue. Kim Jacinto. And I thought, oh no, that's not true. That I mean, that's impressive enough, right? That like the art is very consistent issue to issue, and I think they did like a really solid job of it. So the Black Order series, I think the very last issue looking so different was a bit of a disappointment to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd call that out, that I think they did a really good job. I think there's like a ton of writers, like Mark Waid, Al Ewing, and Jim Zub. Mm-hmm. With it being a weekly comic, they actually got Mark Waid involved with this. Mark Waid was involved with a comic book series called 52 at DC Comics that was a weekly comic that lasted a whole year, so it was 52 issues. Okay. And so this was kind of like, oh, we're going to do that at Marvel. And I'm guessing he was kind of the guy who lit fires under everybody's asses and kept it going. But Mark Waid's, you know, just one of those like really good writers that hops between Marvel and DC. And we've read a bunch of Al Ewing before. He's just a Marvel mainstay. So I thought that this was kind of one of those like really good really good group efforts that Marvel does a lot of times, which is really cool. So I thought I'd just call that out.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and pause there. What are we going to be doing for our next episode, Greg?
Oh, I'm so excited. Okay. So next episode of the podcast, we're going to be doing Miles Morales. So we are going to kind of do a deep dive. We're going to, number one, we're going to watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And then we're going to also read the comic that kind of You'll see that the movie pulled a couple things from this comic, but we're going to be rereading. It's called Ultimate Comics Spider-Man, issues 1 through 6, and that's from 2011. I think that's the only time they called it this, but it's, so the title is Ultimate Comics Spider-Man. And this is Miles Morales, and this is Miles Morales kind of picking up the spider, like getting his powers, and it's got his uncle Aaron and stuff. It's, you'll see a lot of similarities. And it starts off the Miles Morales comics in the Ultimate Universe, which is a parallel Marvel Comics universe. But it's really
good. I am ultimately excited for this episode.
Oh, nice. We're gonna have to get Ultimate Greg and Jay.
Yay! All right, so go ahead and also, if you haven't yet, check out our Patreon, and you can listen to our bonus episodes with that. They also come out a little bit early compared to our regular release, so check all that out.
Yes, please do.